Well, thank you very much. And can I just start by thanking those that work here for showing me this morning what you do, showing me the skills that you have, telling me a bit about what goes on here, and the incredible history, because if I have understood what you told me this morning, glass has been being made on this very site for the best part of 250 years. I think Pilkington may have been running the business before, and I thought we can actually just see Pilkington out there. And to so for you to be continuing with Glass Futures, very apt name, working here is fantastic. And I can see how proud you are of what you do, each of you contributing with your different skills to what is happening here. So as I've said many, many times, you can read a briefing in London, or you can come and see the workforce, you can come and see the people with the real skills and understand what they're doing. And thank you for allowing me to do the second of those, because I've got a really good sense of what you're doing here, how you're doing it, and the incredible way in which you are doing it, each of you contributing in your own way. And I can see that pride. And I'm proud of every aspect of our economy, everything that we do across the country. And that's why I've always said I will fight for every job. I know how important a good, well-paid job is. And I hope you've seen some of that in the trade deals that we've recently done with countries like India, the US and the EU. And only this morning, actually, you explained to me that the India deal in particular will be really important for glass and what you're doing directly, and of course for businesses like whisky who need glass all of the time. And that comes from my absolute determination to create jobs, good jobs, and to drive down the cost of living. And put more money in your pocket, which is, I think, the thing that most people are most concerned about. That's what drives me. But you can't say that about Nigel Farage. I mean, this is the man who said that Jaguar Land Rover deserve, his word, to go bust. And he said that because he didn't like an advert that they made. This is a company at the absolute forefront of British engineering. And he says they deserve to go bust. But unlike Nigel Farage, I've been to see the workers at JLR several times over, particularly recently. And I know what those jobs mean for the workforce themselves, for their families and their communities. And I saw firsthand the anxiety on their faces. I met them just as I've met you this morning. I saw the anxieties on their faces when they thought their jobs were at risk. So when they needed support earlier this year, when we had to fight for their jobs and make a deal with the United States, I protected those jobs because I had them in my mind's eye. And politics is about who you have in your mind's eye. We protected those jobs. Would Nigel Farage have done the same? Absolutely not. And that's the question you have to ask about Nigel Farage. Can you trust him? Can you trust him with your future? Can you trust him with your jobs? Can you trust him with your mortgages, your pensions, your bills? And he gave the answer on Tuesday, a resounding no. He set out economic plans that contain billions upon billions of completely unfunded spending. Precisely the sort of irresponsible splurge that sent your mortgage costs, your bills, and the cost of living through the roof. It's Liz Truss all over again. Now, in opposition, we said that she would crash the economy and leave you to pick up the bill. And we were right. And we were elected to fix that mess. Now in government, we're once again fighting the same fantasy, this time from Farage. The same bet in the same casino that you can spend tens of billions of pounds on tax cuts without a proper way of paying for it. Using your family finances, your mortgages, your bills as the gambling chip on his mad experiment. And I can see that in keeping with my point, apparently he's in Las Vegas today at a casino. And it's not a surprise, because he said that the Liz Truss budget, in his view, was the best since 1986. That shows his judgment. It shows what he'd do. And the result would be exactly the same. Now, I'm not prepared to let that happen. Labour's plan for change has stabilised the economy. Growth in our economy is at the fastest rate in the G7 this year. Four cuts in interest rates. That means mortgages coming down. And a pay boost for 3.5 million low-paid workers. And unlike Nigel Farage, I know what it's like growing up in a cost of living crisis. I know what it's like when your family can't pay the bills, when you fear the postman and the bills that may be brought. And I know how much work we have to do. But there is not and never will be a magic wand that can wave away the need to manage the public finances properly. That is the foundation upon which everything rests, always. Now, we were elected to change the country, but we were also elected to never put working people through a crisis like Liz Truss ever again. And so that is what we're doing. Scunthorpe Steel, that was rescued. JLR workers protected. Wages rising. Mortgages coming down. NHS waiting lists cut. 3 million extra appointments this year. The living wage raised. Water company bosses fined. You saw that earlier this week. Immigration falling. Breakfast clubs in every school. An investment in infrastructure right across the country. The biggest levelling up of workers' rights in a generation, and a massive cash injection in our public services without making working people pay. Nigel Farage stands for none of this. He literally voted against it, against sick pay for working people, against fire and rehire, against cutting fuel duty. And now he wants to blow up the economy all over again. Well, we won't let him. We will deliver our plan for change. And we will do so precisely because we protect our economy. That is the path to change. And that is what Labour will deliver. Thank you all very much indeed. Thank you. And now I'm going to take some questions from the media. I've got a list here. Harry from the BBC first, please.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
Harry.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Harry Farley from BBC News. The speed of the decline in your popularity is historically unprecedented. Isn't this speech today an admission that you have failed and Nigel Farage understands voters better than you? And if I may, you've signalled a U-turn on winter fuel payments. Do you now want to remove the two-child benefit cap?
It's really important for me to remind everybody of the absolute mess that we inherited in the economy, with £22 billion missing from the economy, in the health service, which was on its knees, our public services shot through. Our job was to pick that up and turn it around, and that involved tough decisions. But we did that because we knew that the foundation of economic stability is the single most important thing. I vowed that people would never be put through the Liz Truss experiment ever again. And the reason I'm speaking out today in relation to Nigel Farage is precisely because that's what the policies he outlined this week risk for our country. And we're here to make sure that working people are never put through that ever again. In relation to winter fuel, we do want to ensure that more pensions are eligible for winter fuel, and that's what we're working on. Let me just go back to my list. I've got Amanda from Sky. Amanda.
Hello, Amanda Acas, Sky News. Reform UK say you're running scared of them, that you're sounding increasingly like them with some of the policies and announcements you've made recently. This is a speech that was very defensive, wasn't it? And also, if I may, one of their policies is now lifting the two-child benefit cap. One of the education secretary was on Sky News this week saying it's something you're considering. Is it something that you personally would like to do? Would you do it? And if so, why not do it now rather than waiting to the end of the year and lift 470,000 children out of poverty?
Let me be really clear about the difference between this Labour government and reform. Because we know for a fact what happens when politicians say they're going to spend billions of pounds and it's unfunded. It was the millions of working people who paid the price for that experiment. that experiment through their prices going up, the cost of living went through the roof, mortgages went through the roof, and the whole country went through a crisis. And the whole world looked to see what on earth was happening for the United States. So we don't need, this is not theory. And what Nigel Farage is doing is Liz Truss 2.0. Same promises of billions and billions of pounds in unfunded cuts with exactly the same results. And I feel very strongly it's my responsibility to protect working people from being put through that ever again. Thank you. Let me go to Chris Hope. Chris.
Chris Hope, GB News. Prime Minister Farage, Nigel Farage has five MPs. You've got 403. Are you panicking because reform is so far ahead in the polls, it seems? Is he living rent-free in your brain? You went to a state school. Your dad worked in a factory. Your mum worked in the NHS. So why has a public school-educated former city trader got more in common with the red wall than you have?
Well, I've set out my divide. I think the single most important thing is to make sure we stabilise our economy and build on that strong foundation the future of our country. And that is what we're doing. And we're seeing the early signs of that. Growth is up, the highest in the G7 this year. Interest rates have come down four times. So we're beginning to show what happens when you stabilise the economy. And I want to protect working people from Nigel Farage because I want to protect them from what he will do, which is exactly the same as Liz Truss, which will have a direct impact on their lives. And in relation to the second part of your question, I don't need lectures from Nigel Farage on what it means to be working and working people. I know what it means to work 10 hours a day in a factory 5 days a week. And I know that because that is what my dad did every single working day of his life. And that's what I grew up with. So I don't need lessons from Nigel Farage about the issues that matter most to working people in this country. Thank you, Chris. I've got Peter from The Guardian. Peter.
Hi, Keir. You've dodged the question on the two-child benefit cap twice now, so can I ask you as a first question, would you personally like to get rid of the two-child benefit cap? And on the wider issue of the opposition we're now facing, do you think one of the problems is that Nigel Farage can approximate talking like a human being, where you just resort to talking points and dodging questions?
Well, look, I mean, on the question of the two-child benefit, my apologies, I think I did the first half of the question, not the second. Let me deal with that directly. I'm determined we're going to drive down child poverty. One of the proudest things that the last Labour government did was to drive down child poverty, and that's why we've got a task force working on this. I think there are a number of components. There isn't a single bullet, but I'm absolutely determined that we will drive this down, and that's why we'll look at all options, all ways of driving down child poverty. I'm determined, I'm so proud the last Labour government did it, and I'm so pleased that we are taking up that challenge to do it with this Labour government, and that's what we will do. In relation to working people, what matters most, in my view, is who politicians have in their mind's eye when they make decisions. I know precisely who I had in my mind's eye when I took the decisions that I had to on the international stage with the US trade deal. I had my mind's eye, the general workers, that I'd taken the time to go and see on a number of occasions and understand for myself the jobs they do, the skills they have, and what that means for them, their families, and their communities. And that's the way I do politics, which is roll up your sleeves, understand the issues, understand the challenges, run towards that challenge, and make sure that we fix it for working people. And that is exactly what we did with JLR. That's exactly the approach I would take. What did Nigel Farage say about JLR? Maybe with a great flourish, apparently contacting with working people, he said they should go bust. I challenge him to go to JLR, stand in front of the workforce, and tell them that his policy for JLR is they should go bust. And I'd very much like to see the reaction. Thank you. Then can I go to Aggie, please, LBC.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Aggie Shambray, LBC. Do you have a reaction to a Reform UK advert which claims Anna Sawa wanted to prioritise the Pakistani community and Nigel Farage's defence of it, that it was Sawa that introduced sectarianism into Scottish politics? Sawa has called the comments poisonous. The SNP has called the ads racist. Do you agree with that? Are they racist? And also, if I may, are you not worried people will ask why you're holding a press conference about Nigel Farage 4 years out from a general election instead of focusing on your plans for the country?
Well, there's a lot of questions bound up in that, but let me get to the central point, because what we've seen with reform in Scotland in relation to this particular video is manipulation. And it is, as ever, with Reform and Nigel Farage, trying to divide people with a toxic divide and to poison our politics. And I think our politics is above that. And that's why I think it's absolutely right that Anas Sawa has called this out for what it is. It is toxic divide. It is introducing poison into our politics. And that is exactly what turns people off politics. And that is why restoring trust to politics is so important to my project and the project of Scottish Labour. Thank you. Shihab.
Shihab Khan, ITV News. Prime Minister, you're attacking Reform UK and Nigel Farage directly today. Is that because you now view Nigel Farage as your biggest threat and biggest opponent? And a quick second question, if I may. ITV News has been covering the squalid, dangerous conditions in some social housing for 4 years. Today we've discovered that the Ombudsman has received 500% more complaints now than they did 4 years ago. What is your message to social landlords who are not dealing with these conditions properly?
Let me deal with the second bit first, because it is really important that we're clear. Anyway, but in light of this particular report, that everybody has the right to a safe place to live. And that is absolutely central to our work on housing and the work the Deputy Prime Minister is doing. It's why, for example, she's introducing a new law to ensure that standards are the right standards for people to live in. And so that's at the heart of everything that we do. In relation to the wider politics here, look, I do think that the Conservative Party has run out of road. Their project is faltering. They're in decline. They're sliding into the abyss. And it's very important, therefore, that we say that and identify that. But equally, politics is about choices. And the choice at the moment is between the choice of a Labour government that thinks that stable finances are at the heart of building better lives for working people, or Nigel Farage and Reform, who only this week said they would spend billions upon billions upon billions, tens of billions of pounds in an unfunded way, which is the exact repeat of what Liz Truss did. And it wasn't Nigel Farage that lost. He's all right. It's working people across the country that lost out, and I'm not prepared to allow that ever to happen in this country again. Thank you. And then Noah, I think, is the last question.
Thank you, Prime Minister. You went into the election promising to freeze national insurance and keep the two-child benefit cap. You've since raised national insurance on businesses, and now you're considering axing the cap. Isn't attacking Nigel Farage's economic credibility a bit rich?
Well, I think if we look at the evidence of just the last few weeks, what have we seen? We've seen growth at 0.7%. That's higher than I think most people predicted, including most of the media. I'm not complaining about that or criticising, but it's the highest growth in the G7. Interest rates have come down four times. That is a sign of confidence in the steps that we're taking. We've done three trade deals with countries around the world. That signals that other countries want to work with this country because they've made trade deals. That India deal, previous Prime Minister's been talking for 8 years, I think, about that trade deal. We managed to bring it in, and it's going to make a difference to people working here. The US deal as well, that was talked about for a very long time. We brought it in. And the EU deal, which is going to have a direct impact on prices in supermarkets. So all the evidence is that if you stabilise the economy, then others have confidence. We've had the record investment into this country. And the result of that is that we can deal with the cost of living crisis, and people have more money in their pockets, they feel better off. And that, for me, is at the heart of everything I stand for politically. Thank you all very much indeed. Thank you. Thank you again for spending time with me this morning. I really appreciate it. Obviously, you can now get on with your jobs again, but thank you. It's been really interesting to see. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks again for showing me around this morning. I really appreciate it.